Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we begin the month of September, we begin a new series on the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the people of Colossae. Previously, when we have studied books of the Bible, we've tended to look at quite large passages at a time, and we've gone through the book quite quickly. This could be really useful for giving us a good overview of the book and an understanding of the key themes without getting bogged down in the details. However, this time, we're going to do a more in-depth, detailed study of Paul's letter to the Colossians. So we'll be looking at smaller sections of the letter each week and considering what we can learn from the words Paul had to say to the people in the early church of Colossae. Our overarching theme is the life that we receive through Christ. Each week, we will be looking at a different aspect of that life that we need, the life we long for, and ultimately the life we receive through knowing and accepting Christ. So we're going to start by reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. It's a lovely beginning to Paul's letter, as he spends this time from verses 3 to 23 in a thanksgiving prayer to God. This was a traditional part of letter writing in the ancient world, but Paul transformed it to have a Christian focus. Instead of thanking various gods and goddesses for miscellaneous blessings and good fortunes that he personally had, Paul designed his thanksgiving to be a Christian prayer for the Colossians, to be read aloud, and thus it becomes a witness of Christian faith and a means of instruction. The prayer is split into two parts, and with an added final section, which seems to have been some kind of early Christian hymn. The first part of the prayer, ending at the verse 8, focuses on the effects of the gospel in Colossae and the whole world. And this is why our focus for this week is the gospel, the good news that we receive. So firstly, some background. Paul had never actually met the church of Colossae, but it seems apparent that the Colossians respected his wisdom and authority. The church had been started by a man named Epaphras, who was discipled and taught by Paul. And so Epaphras had clearly passed on his respect for Paul to the rest of the Colossians. Paul writes this letter to them while he's imprisoned in Rome during his first imprisonment in the capital city. And he wrote to the church in Colossae to encourage them in their faith and to guide them as they sought to answer questions that we all strive to answer. Who is a good person? What is a good life? How do I become one of the good people? The Colossians struggled with this question and tried to understand how their new knowledge and acceptance of Christ answered those questions, while also still being bombarded by the thoughts, philosophies, and habits of the culture around them. As we'll think about later, there were different philosophies and customs that were trying to infiltrate the Colossian church, and so part of Paul's letter is to remind the Colossians to hold fast to the truth that they believed in and understood. He wants them to hold on to the life that they have found in Christ and not be swayed by any other false teaching. But that is something we'll get into in more detail in later chapters. For now, it is enough to say that Paul wanted to remind the Colossians of the truth of the fullness of life they had accepted by accepting the message of Jesus. So, why was the gospel good news for the Colossians, and what difference did it make? Firstly, the gospel was good news for the Colossians because of the change it brought in them. That's the first thing, the change that it was causing. In Paul's introductory letters, in Paul's introductory words in this letter, he calls the Colossians God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. There are a few important things to note about the statement. Firstly, Paul calls them God's holy people. Holy in this context has the meaning of set apart, made special, sacred, for the purposes of God. The Colossians were no longer ordinary people who were going about their ordinary lives. They had become holy, people who were set apart from others for God's special purposes. They had been transformed, changed from their old lives of sinfulness and shame to the new life of holiness and grace. This was something for Paul and the Colossians to celebrate, as by believing in Christ, they were no longer condemned to a life of sin and destruction, but were on the path of holiness and freedom. Just as the Colossians were called God's holy people, we too are God's holy people. This means that we are also set apart for God's purposes. We no longer live the lives of ordinary people condemned by our sinfulness and treading a path of misery and pain. We stand in the righteousness that comes from Christ, knowing that we have been set free and given a new purpose. What do we do with our new status in God? Do we celebrate our changed status? Do we glory in being God's holy people? How much does it actually affect our everyday lives? I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we probably don't spend that much time thinking about being holy, set apart in our daily lives. We live in a world which constantly tells us of the value of fitting in, being part of the in crowd, moving with the trends of the day. And so we fear being set apart because it makes us different. It makes us a target. A person who stands out in the crowd is liable to get attacked by those who disagree with their way of being. So the calling upon our lives to be God's holy people, people set apart to be different for God, is scary and difficult. And it means we have to consciously choose to act differently to the way the world calls us to work. John Piper speaks about this beautifully when he says this: I am wired by nature to love the same toys that the world loves. I start to fit in. I start to love what others love. I start to call Earth home. Before you know it, I am calling luxuries needs and using my money just the way unbelievers do. I begin to forget the war. I don't think much about people perishing. Missions and unreached people drop out of my mind. I stop dreaming about the triumphs of grace. I sink into a secular mindset that looks first to what man can do, not what God can do. It is a terrible sickness. And I thank God for those who have forced me again and again towards a wartime mindset. John Piper is saying that we need to keep our minds focused on the spiritual war that is happening around us, the war for our souls. We need to be prepared to live lives that are distinct, set apart, holy, dedicated to the purposes of God, because we are in a battle. A battle that Jesus has already won, but one that still rages here because Satan does not want to let anyone go. So we might think to ourselves that this challenge, this scary task to be different, doesn't really sound very much like good news. but it is. Because being set apart and made holy, we are restored to relationship with God. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. And this leads me to the second point I want to make about this verse too. Not all translations are written like this, but at least in the version of the NIV that I read, it says, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a sense of parallelism here. God's holy people in Colossae, faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is reflected in the original Greek writing. Paul deliberately juxtaposes the concept of being in Colossae and being in Christ. By this, he is reminding the Colossians that though they reside in the city of Colossae, they truly live in Christ. He speaks about it more explicitly in another letter, his letter to the Philippians, when he tells them, our citizenship is in heaven. And again, the writer to the Hebrews notes, for this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our everlasting home in heaven. The loyalty of the Colossian church was no longer with the city of Colossae, but with Christ. They had been changed by their allegiance to Christ because of the gospel. So this is true for us as well. Our home is not here in this broken, sinful world. Our home is with our Father in heaven. No matter where we may reside in this world, we know that our true home is found in Christ. This is the best news we can ever receive. We have a permanent home with the Creator and Saviour of the world. As a kind of side note, I guess, one of my biggest fears is being truly and completely lost. I hate the sense of confusion, fear and desperation I feel if I don't know my way back home. But the wonderful truth of my faith is that I never have to fear being permanently lost, because Christ is my home. Now granted, this may not help me with the immediate fear of having to navigate home when I get lost in the world, but it does remind me that home is not a location, it is a life with Jesus. So the gospel was good news for the church in Colossae because of the change it brought in them. The gospel was also good news because it gave them a community, a true community in which to find true support, love and encouragement. The Colossian church was made up of a varied mix of people, predominantly Gentiles, but they were all from different backgrounds, races, religions, classes. They were a true mishmash of people cobbled together to become a church. As seems to be typical of society, regardless of when or where it is, the culture around them was typically very divided. People were divided into factions and cliques based on class, race, region, religion, so many differences. The idea that people from vastly different areas, from different parts of the social spectrum, who were vastly different from each other, could come together and form a community was a completely alien concept. That just didn't happen in the Roman world. Everyone stuck to their faction and gave their loyalty to them, regarding everyone else with suspicion. So the church in Colossae was very countercultural. It flew in the face of all societal norms. Of course, the only reason this disparate group of people could become a community is because of the power and love of Jesus. The power of the gospel at work in and among the people, drawing them closer and deeper into a loving relationship with each other and with God. In fact, they have not just become a community, they have become a family by becoming brothers and sisters in Christ. The good news of the gospel meant that the Colossians had been adopted by God into his family, and so they should show brotherly and sisterly love to one another. Paul praised and celebrated God for the love that you, that is the Colossians, have for all God's people, which comes from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. He reminded them that the hope that the gospel gives is the fuel for their faith and love for each other. Just like the Colossians, we live in a world that is extremely divided and factional. Although our world often claims to have advanced from our ancestors, we still allow things to divide us into an us and them mentality. Just looking at our news story shows me this, with worldwide divisions such as the war in Ukraine, to national divisions, our political situation, which is a complete mess at the moment, all the way down to our local area, where we see people as young as kids fighting and hurting each other over one difference or another. But we are called to come together in the love that comes from the truth of the gospel. We unite together to demonstrate to the world what it means to be part of the family of God. How can we learn to love each other more? Is there anything that we can do that might unite us stronger together in the bonds of love God has given us? In society, community tends to be a word that is tagged onto any group of people that have a similar interest or passion for something. Adam has been away at this gaming convention and so was surrounded by people who were part of the gaming community. If you're a football fan and support a particular team, you might be part of the football club's community. But when the word community is used in these settings, it does not truly refer to the in-depth community that God calls us to. These communities are merely surface-level interests that do not truly delve into what it means to be walking alongside one another in life. You wouldn't go to a music gig and in the middle of enjoying the music turn to the person next to you and say, "Ah, my life is falling apart." Here in the church, we should feel the freedom and the support of the community to be able to do exactly this, to share our deep needs and desires. The community that is created by the love of Jesus and the good news of the gospel is a supernatural community that goes beyond what we can manage simply by ourselves. The final thing that I'm going to mention that was good news for the Colossians was that they were part of a cause that was much, much bigger than them. The gospel was not just a teaching that had gone from Paul to Epaphras to the Colossians. No, it had gone much, much further. The reach of the gospel was spreading further and further every day. Paul wrote, "In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. The Colossians were part of a cause that was bigger than them and was spreading across the world. If it had happened today, people would be saying that the gospel had gone viral. It is not hard for us in today's society of technology and interconnectedness to make a story go around the world. But for the Christians in the first century, messages were spread by word of mouth or letters, people literally travelling to different locations to pass the message on. So the fact that the world managed to spread at all, in worldly terms, seemed not just unlikely, but pretty much impossible. And yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel went across the world. By accepting the gospel message, the Colossians had become part of a cause that was much greater than merely themselves. Can you imagine Paul's joy if he knew that the gospel was still being spread centuries after his death, crisscrossing across the globe multiple times. The gospel is good news because it reminds us that we are part of a cause that is much greater than us. We are part of the cause that seeks God's kingdom, that longs to see God at work in power where we are. The Colossians would have faced times of doubt and uncertainty because of how unlikely it was that the Christianity would truly spread and grow. But they continued to persevere in the faith, and they became a part of the movement, a cause that no one could shut down or suppress. This is a message to us as well. Do not judge the movement, the cause of Jesus, by your single moment in history. He is doing great things. He has been doing great things for well over 2,000 years. And he will continue to do amazing things to see his gospel spread far and wide. Because we are part of this cause, we have the responsibility to see the cause continuing to grow and bear fruit, for the gospel to be known by more and more people. The truth of the gospel, and not any distorted version that people often think we believe in. Some people, it seems, think that Christianity is about an angry, authoritarian God who wants to punish people and lay down rules and regulations that stop Christians from having any fun or enjoying life. We need to communicate to those people the truth of the gospel, to speak about the freedom that the gospel brings, the love and grace we receive from knowing God. So many people have come to hear a distorted message and have turned away from God because of it. Let us be willing to speak words of truth, hope, love, justice, freedom, and righteousness to those who most need to hear it. The gospel is good news. We've received it. Let others receive it too. Amen.